The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library, with additional support from Wright Memorial Public Library, Clark County Public Library, Tipp City Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, and Washington Centerville Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. And it's my pleasure to have on the program today Ruben Bettino. And Ruben has done a lot of things during his life, including writing a lot of books. And I went and I looked on Amazon to see all the different books you've written, Ruben. And I, of course, haven't read all these books, but I'm very impressed with your bibliography. And Ruben is a retired chemistry professor, and you're also a licensed counselor, I understand, and you're a playwright, and you've done all kinds of things in your life. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
I know you've wanted to be on the program for a while, and I resisted, and then finally I decided, you know, a guy that's written all these books and a man who's been on the planet for over 9 decades.
Right.
I need to let him on my show. So here you are.
Yeah.
And just some of these titles. I'm wondering, you have a book called Guided Imagery, Psychotherapy and Healing Through the Mind-Body Connection. Came out in 2007. What is guided imagery?
Well, guided imagery was first developed by a medical doctor and his wife, a psychologist, to work with people who had cancer. And what they felt was that if they used imagery with cancer patients, and they did all the testing with fourth stage cancer women, breast cancer, that they would provide the imagery, and the original choice was having a shark move throughout their body, the body of the patients, gobbling up cancer cells. Eventually, they became more reasonable about that when one of the women said, "Ugh, I don't want a shark in my body. We have something else." And then after that, they decided and do what I do now, is I ask my clients, what or who do you want within you will help you with whatever is bothering you and disturbing you now, mentally, socially, whatever. So in the past bunch of years, I've been developing ways of eliciting from my clients what it is that's going to fix them. So I first get them to relax, then I have them to move to a safe haven within their own mind, real or imaginary, that provides protection. And then they tell me who or whatever it is will fix them and help them in their going on. I'll give you just one fairly fascinating example. One of my clients felt that what would help her out of her personal difficulties was that the safe haven was being on a beach, and what was going to help her was twinkling lights and a sea turtle. So I first got her in a trance, got her to relax, then talked about being at a beach, because I knew a lot about being at beaches. And then I had twinkling lights appear and go within her body and go wherever it helped to resolve and solve realistically all the things that had been bothering her. And then at some point, a turtle walks out of the sea and provides her with extra strength and courage for the rest of her life.
Wow.
Now, this is all kind of strange and maybe unbelievable and bizarre. I have never had a client resist my doing these kinds of things with them.
And you're still practicing?
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. My guest is Ruben Bettino. He joins us in studio, and this is a very special thing for me because we've moved into these new studios here in Yellow Springs, and this is my first in-studio interview since we moved over here, Ruben. You're a special guest.
Oh, wow.
And I wondered about your biography. Tell us where you came from and how you ended up in Yellow Springs.
Well, I don't talk this way no more, but I grew up in the Bronx, okay? I went to Bronx High School of Science, City College. Early in my, when I was young, I had three things I wanted in a career: writing, psychology, and chemistry. I grew up in the Depression, and I couldn't figure out how to earn a living in writing and psychology, but I really liked chemistry, and I decided to do that and to go into academics, become a professor, do research, teach, etc.
And you were a chemistry professor at Wright State, is that correct?
Yeah, I was there for 29 years.
Okay. Well, I can see some of your titles here, like thermodynamics of chemical systems are related to that particular aspect of your career.
I was a visiting professor in University of Canterbury in New Zealand four times, actually in chemical engineering, because my passion is chemical thermodynamics and the thermodynamics of solution, and chemical engineering is applied chemistry. So that's where I ended up in New Zealand. My wife and I were hikers, and we hiked every major trail and every minor trail in New Zealand, and I have the slides and movies to show that. And incidentally, my major volunteer work now is with the residents of assisted living in the Friends Care community. I do travelogues there every 2 weeks.
You've had a long life, Ruben. To what do you attribute your longevity?
Probably genes. My oldest brother lived almost 100. My father, 94. Another brother, 93, and one, 88. And I don't know. I'm alive. I do things.
Mm.
And my mind, I'm really fortunate that my mind is still working. I mean, for instance, I recently had published a very long article in the Milton Erickson Foundation newsletter, his hypnosis, on adapting neurolinguistic programming fast allergy cure to a whole bunch of issues. I mean, my mind is working. I've been still putting new ideas out there.
It's a wonderful thing to still have your mind.
Yes.
Because it's so easy to lose one's mind. It seems like it happens to so many people. But there's no diet or special, do you drink a lot of water or anything like that? Some special little secret that just Ruben Bettino?
No, I just feel comfortable being alive.
Mm.
And I have lots of interests. I read maybe two books a week. I watch TV, some TV programs.
Mm.
I just watched The Lord of the Flies,
The
whole series.
Uh-huh.
And I surprised myself when I saw the title that I immediately remembered the name of the author, William Golding.
Mm-hmm.
Just popped in my head.
And those books, what's the last one you read that you really liked?
I've been reading the detective stories,
mm-hmm.
Written by a lot of people. One of the most impressive recently was by Louise Penny,
mm-hmm.
Gray Wolf.
Yeah.
And fascinating there, one of the central themes in the book is that we're running out of fresh water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating for me because one of my closest chemistry colleagues has just written a very extensive scientific paper, and the whole beginning part with it is how probably the most important environment thing now is not climate change, but that we are losing the amount of fresh water that we have. And that was a central theme in Louise Penny's book.
Mm-hmm. I love her writing. We've had her on the show 3 times, and she's amazing.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. If you're just tuning in, my guest is Ruben Bettino in studio. You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, sharing community voices through inspired storytelling. And Ruben's definitely a community voice. He moved to Yellow Springs in the mid-1960s. How has Yellow Springs changed since you've come here?
Well, the main change in a way is population. When we first moved to Yellow Springs, it was about 20% black people. Now it's under 10%, because Yellow Springs was the only, free of prejudice place around. But I remember when moving here that we heard the surrounding community thought of Yellow Springs as being made up of and communists. And I thought that was wonderful.
Well, I don't know about the terminology, Ruben.
But not the terminology, but that we had that variety of people around.
Now, let's switch to healing language now.
Okay.
That was the name of one of your books.
Oh, yeah.
What was that one about?
Well, for over 30 years, I was a facilitator of groups for people who had cancer and their caregivers. And so I got very much involved, my psychotherapy side, on the difference between healing language and harmful language. And I wrote a whole book that has 68 scenarios in it of different situations with language that would be healing. Now, that book is also the one I've been most disappointed about. I thought it would be adopted by every medical school in the country because they need that kind of thing. I had to self-publish it because the psychology people thought it was too much about language, and the language people thought it was too psychotherapy.
Mm.
And it just sells minimally.
And most of your books are still in print, apparently.
Well, the one that's been selling the most for the longest time is the first psychotherapy book I wrote with a colleague, Tom South, on Ericksonian approaches. It's called Ericksonian Approaches to Doing Hypnosis. And it is the only book that is still out there, still sells, that is a textbook.
Mm-hmm.
Being an academic, I insisted that it be a textbook. And it's the only book out there on hypnosis that is really a textbook, a training book.
And that one came out in 2005, I believe. And who was Erickson?
Oh, Milton Erickson was the psychiatrist who single-handedly brought hypnosis into the 20th century. He did training. He wrote books. He was the editor for 10 years of a hypnosis journal. And he was probably the best therapist that ever lived. Really fascinating use of language. And one thing I can say about him and that I learned from him is that he was the master of the precise use of vague language. In fact, my first presentation at a hypnosis meeting was on poetry and hypnosis. And the commonality is that the power of poetry is imprecise, vague language. So words that the poet puts in, everybody interprets them differently.
So that's an example of precise usage of vague language?
Poetry, yeah. Wow. All poetry.
Wow. And is hypnosis part of your practice then? Do you hypnotize people?
I've been doing hypnosis for almost 45 years.
How do you do it?
Well, one thing that has been an advantage is I have a voice that is very good for hypnosis. And when I start talking, you get the idea.
I'm falling asleep, Ruben.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
And I provide many, many suggestions to my clients. And it's like imagery and poetry, they latch on to a particular idea and go along with it. And I put out enough suggestions that there are some there that will realistically change their behavior. I never talk about problems. My clients have bothers, difficulties, troubles, concerns, because they're easier to deal with. And so the earlier one about twinkling lights was an example of that.
Ruben, I realize that my style of questioning can be all over the place. I'm wondering, since you wanted to be on the show for a while, what is it that you want to talk about?
Well, I basically wanted to talk about, in a way, some of my books. I just gave you as a gift a biography I wrote of Viktor Frankl, the man who wrote Man's Search for Meaning and survived the concentration camps. And I wrote that actually in play form, following the style of Bertolt Brecht, the German playwright. It's never been performed, but I have done several times readings, illustrated readings from that. And actually, if you go to my website, just rubenbettino.com, on the page that shows up, if you click on that, my recording of what I did about the Viktor Frankl book is there, plus 7 podcasts, but that's an aside.
Is that the one your son did for you?
Oh, my son David is a brilliant person with computers,
mm-hmm.
and he's a wonderful manager of websites, etc. Mm-hmm. He takes care of that.
I looked at your website, and Ruben spells his name R-U-B-I-N.
Right, thank
you.
Not
to be confused with the sandwich.
Right, which, as a matter of fact, I don't like.
Is it the sauerkraut?
I don't really like that, but neither here nor there.
Okay. My guest is Ruben Bettino, and he joins us in studio today in the Book Nook. And you're still practicing. That is very impressive. You must love your work.
Well, I find people endlessly fascinating and interesting. And my style is, and I've written about all these things, is chatting. I start off like I've just met somebody, and we chat for a while, and they know that my expectation, because they know this before they come to see me, is that I'll be able to help them in one session. And then that becomes their expectation. I never look at the clock, I don't do insurance, and I charge a minimal fee. But people are, I mean, I had a 17-year-old girl in Europe, And she was having troubles. And so we did this by, I guess, FaceTime. And it ended up that when I asked her what would help her out of her particular difficulties, and she liked walking in a forest. She lives in Europe, right? Germany, matter of fact. And what she chose as a healer was a snow leopard.
Hmm.
So I got her in a trance, had her walk through the woods, and a snow leopard snapped out from behind the tree and talked to her, assuring her that he would be there to be with her and take care of her for as long as she needed.
Now, when you say you got her in a trance, this was hypnosis?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you can hypnotize someone on FaceTime?
Oh, yeah. I've done that many times. I've done it in Zooming and FaceTime.
Well, I've got to give it to you. You're very sophisticated with technology.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Much more than I am.
Okay.
I am a Luddite. But I thought when we were communicating about this interview, I finally decided, okay, he's not an email guy like me. I need to send him a text. And there you responded to that.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, he's one of these iPhone guys.
No, I'm actually an email guy.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah, being an academic, email was developed by faculty people.
Mm.
And I look first at emails, text later.
I love email. And my favorite part about it is the delete key.
Yes,
that's
right.
My favorite, because all day long I get pitches. Do you want to read this book by the number one TikTok influencer? You know, this kind of stuff. And
Yep.
And since I'm really big on TikTok, like I say, I'm sort of a dinosaur here, but I'm younger than you slightly.
Yeah, a child, matter of fact.
Yeah. Now, you were. What, a teenager during World War II?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my three older brothers were in the military.
Okay, what do you remember about World War II? Since we're in a war right now, well, an excursion. What do you remember about it?
Well, just little things. My father was an air warden. My sister actually traveled to New Jersey to work in an airplane factory. Cutting gears for airplanes.
Rosie the Riveter.
Yeah, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And my three brothers were in. One special thing that my parents did was go to Katz's Delicatessen in New York City and buy a salami and mail it to them while they're in service. And I have a number of stories I can tell about my brothers in the war. Like my brother Ralph, he was the first one in. He went through officer candidate school, and so he was in training. And whenever his battalion finished training, he was left behind in the United States because the commanding officer didn't want to go into battle with a Jewish officer. And that happened three times, and it saved his life. I eventually went to the Pacific.
Hmm.
But
well, the more things change, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My guest is Ruben Matino, and he joins us in studio. And Ruben, I know we're running out of time here, but I'm curious, since you've lived in Yellow Springs all these years, what is the one thing about Yellow Springs that you treasure?
I guess it's people. It's the variety of people here. I've got to know endless people. Sadly, since I'm almost 95, many of them have died, and my wife died about 6 years ago. And the other thing is, for many years, I hiked in Glen Helen almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly life is with people. And I have a lot of friends and adopted family here in Yellow Springs.
Well, I think friendships are just so crucial to living, to being in this world.
Right. And I think we've each made a new friend here.
Well, I hope so, Reuben. You were kind enough to give me this book, Meaning, and I had never heard of Viktor Frankl, so I'm going to have to read this. You said that this is written in play form?
Yes.
Okay.
About 90% of the words in there are actually Frankl's, and I've been to Vienna quite a few times, I think, as a visiting professor, chemistry.
Mm.
And on one of the trips, I called him up, went to his apartment, met him and his wife, and I said, Dr. Frankl, I would like to write a biography of you in play form. And he looked at me and said, what are you asking me for? You go write it. And so I did.
Okay.
Now, I did have the advantage of knowing his son-in-law, and so I had contact with his family to get all the photographs.
Well, you've traveled the world, and I have just one more question, and that is, what is the one place that you've been that was the most beautiful place you've ever been in your life?
New Zealand. We were there 7 times, lived there 3.5 years, and it's just an incredible place. I still talk every few weeks with one of my chemistry colleagues there.
I've heard that about New Zealand. I've never been. If you're interested in checking out Reuben's bibliography, just do what I did. Go to his website at reubenbatino.com, or you can go on Amazon. There's a whole stack of books in there by Reuben, and just an amazing variety. There's titles like Metaphoria, Metaphor and Guided Imagery for Psychotherapy and Healing, Using Guided Imagery in Brief Therapy and Palliative Care, Expectation, the Very Brief Therapy Book, lots of stuff. And chemistry books as well. Oxygen and Ozone is in there. What? That's right. Is it not? That's another Ericksonian book, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a biography in play form of Milton Erickson, the father, if you will, of hypnosis.
Okay. Well, it's really been a pleasure having you on the program, Reuben. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for talking with me.
You've been listening to the Book Nook on WYSO, and I'm Vic McCunis. We have an archive of over 1,200 interviews as podcasts at WYSO.org. You can listen to them whenever you want, and after we air this interview on the radio, this one will be archived eventually on our website as well, so you can go back and you can listen to it over and over again to hear that soothing voice of Reuben Bettino to help you go to sleep at night, because I know between the two of us, I've been told the same thing about my voice, that I put people to sleep. And I always took it as kind of a, I'm not sure about that. But thanks again, Reuben.
You're welcome. Thank you.
For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis.